Paul Ryan. I'm at the end of the second year full-time PhD at Wimbledon. The title of my overall research project is The Semiotic of Charles Sanders Peirce and the Implications for Aesthetics in the Visual Arts. And then I have a subtitle, which is An Exemplary Case Study, The Sketchbook and Its Place in the Hierarchies of Making, Collecting and Exhibiting. I'm not going to talk about that much today, but rather my aim is to try and give a general impression of my views on what the term drawing means within the sense of drawing at Wimbledon. And I think that includes the MA at Wimbledon as well under Christine Hatt, as well as the project space and the PhD researchers under Avis Nima. My work is focused around the sketchbook as a paradigm of a location for the activity of drawing to take place in both its conventional and contemporary means. That's my archive of books there. Today I wanted to show you two pieces of work which were actually made to be projected, seems to be the best way. The first includes more conventionally drawn imagery in books put into the projection, and the second is a more lateral take on the sketchbook. So the first one is called Starring, with two R's, as in people who star in films, and it was made for an exhibition called Chabby, which was an exhibition of Romani artists and several non-Romani artists, including myself, invited to participate. So the drawings are all of Roma people or places. Daniel Baker, Keith Brazil, Bill Brown, the three people that feature most. And it's just under 2 minutes long. So I'm just going to swap computers to this. Let's try to do this. Let's show you that. This is Starring.
Can you say something about the
music? I'd rather it just play and then I'll carry on. It's only 2 minutes.
Was it a projection?
Yeah. It was about the size that it was up there, that's handy. Okay, the second piece I want to show you is called The Point of Power, and it's a PowerPoint presentation that was in the Journal Drawing Prize last year, and it operates, or in my mind, it operates at the level of a sketch. I wrote in the catalogue that I thought of it as an audio-visual scrappy data book to critique a polished mode of presentation, which is the PowerPoint. I also wrote that it seeks to question the ethics of the survey, the relation of data to truth, and how hierarchies of power can thereby be supported or challenged by modes of presentation. And I should add that it uses the PowerPoint's slide transitions and sounds in the order that they're offered by the programme.
Which version?
Well, hopefully this version.
Yeah.
This is about 2 minutes as well. Thank you. This was actually presented originally in an exhibition in North London on an old computer screen in an office.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it went to the journal, as you know, there was very little you could do about how it was presented. It was actually on a screen with other pieces, so it was presented.
So it was on a
room. A room, yeah.
Can I just ask, from the way we saw it now, was it a good summons?
Twiddled in the focus a bit, but the size
yeah.
Of it.
Yeah, so, no, it's just that, you know, the way one experiences.
Yeah. I think my preferred installation was on the old computer. I think that helped So I want to continue now by reading an attempt at a definition of drawing, and I wrote this as a starting point for an email discussion between myself and Ed Kerner, who's been here at Canterbury. I think he's going to call soon, is that right? Ed Kerner? Anyway, him and Tim Gold in Aberdeen and Deanna Petheridge on this email correspondence. So I'll start with my definition of the activity called drawing. My definition of the activity called drawing would be founded on a conceptual modality. That foundation I call non-propositional, because any suggestions or explorations of meaning are contingent and evolving. This might imply that a definition in words of drawing would also have to evolve and be provisional. If something certain is communicated, I call that painting in this context. If religions hold dogmas, then philosophers sketch. The material or medium is insignificant for drawing because sketches can be made in video, performance, installation, etc. Drawings can be made with paint and canvas, or bronze, or marble, as long as the value of that embodiment is undermined. All qualities are available to drawing, even the quality of dogma, can be investigated through drawing. Therefore, qualities are not foundational for any definition of drawing. And there's a note at the end about something that my external supervisor, Christopher Hookway, said, where he suggested that the term pre-logical might actually be better than non-propositional as a starting point for this conceptual modality that I'm talking about. But for now, I still lean to the non-propositional. So that was my attempt at the definition. I just want to go on now to Ed's response to that, and he wrote a critique of that definition, and he's given me permission to read this today. I find Paul's definition of drawing as a non-propositional, conceptual modality, suggestive, compelling, but also rather provocative. For me, it amounts to both a great expansion, but also something of a contraction for drawing's scope. I say expansion because it clearly moves drawing beyond a conventional anchorage to, for example, linearity, as in most dictionary definitions, or the paper ground, as for the Museum of Modern Art and others. Clearly, there are huge problems with looking to any material component to sustain a useful definition of drawing. The choice of the crucial defining trait will always appear arbitrary, and Paul has explicitly ruled out the material or medium as insignificant in defining the category. I find this expansion necessary and compelling, although somehow I find it hard to jettison the sets of historical conventions that have structured much of what would usually describe as drawing. I say contraction because it seems to me that there might be a problem in the conflation of drawing with the sketch. As I understand it, Paul uses these terms as near synonyms. Is this fair? If so, this would seem to bar a huge amount of more precise, finished, perhaps propositional objects from the category. architectural studies, finished compositional schemes, on the portrait studies, etc., that we would usually categorise as drawing. In fact, the function of drawing as a deliberate, methodical, systematised discipline would be marginalised by this formulation. Is there a problem in this prioritisation of the provisional aspect of drawing? Perhaps it's worth separating out the question of definitions. Paul has been explicit in dealing with the activity of drawing in his paragraph. He offers a definition of the verb rather than the noun. Would it be possible then to draw and paint, but for the finished product to remain a painting rather than a drawing? Somehow it doesn't seem useful to view Pollock strip pictures as drawings as opposed to paintings, which is not to say that they do not relate powerfully to conventions of drawing. But to avoid the kind of tail chasing that might be induced by this line of thinking, would it make sense to worry more about what kind of productive or suggestive relationship a process stroke object establishes to the conventions of drawing, rather than attempt a watertight categorical differentiation? Ultimately, it's probably more useful and interesting to explore what drawing can do, rather than how it should be cleanly separated from other forms of practice. I think this is in line with Paul's conception of drawing as a modality rather than as a material medium. To establish what drawing does, it feels necessary to view it and possibly define it in terms of its operation within a relational field of other technologies of representation. That is, perhaps drawing can find its specific potentials when set in relation to writing and painting, dance, film, sculpture, music, etc. The connections between drawing, writing, and cinema have been particularly interesting to me, Mrs. Edster, in relationship to signification on the one hand and to the registration of time on the other. Ed continues, can I also ask another question in response to Paul's paragraph? Could a little more be said about how a proposition is to be identified in an image or an object? Is it by feeling that we understand whether or not a proposition is being offered, or is it by other means? And could some expansion be made on the question of what is at stake in the difference between Hookway's pre-logical and the non-propositional? Okay, so just to finish, I just wrote a few lines about how I might respond to those main points that Ed gives. My main response would be that he seems to lean back into material distinctions to establish these categories again, against which he critiques the definition that I'm putting forward. However, I do acknowledge that the propositional nature of these very finished diagrams, such as architectural drawings, would at first seem to be marginalised by that definition. But I think that can be resolved by contrasting the architect's drawing with the finished building that it suggests, and considering what differing kinds of statements are thereby embodied. The dogma of the building, the suggestiveness of the plan. The building proclaims itself as built, or the great I am, whereas the plan makes no such propositional claim. It says, if anything, this could be,